Morning, welcome back.
Sorry
about last week if it confused some people, but we are back better than ever. Obviously, this Sunday, the Shabbos and Sunday, we are going to celebrate Rosh Chodesh Elul, and I use the word celebrate on purpose, even though for rabbis there's not much to celebrate about because it means that the Yom Narayim are coming upon us. But one of the things that we are going to do over the month of Elul is and really all the way through. Through Sukkos, is we're going to add a Parak Tehillim to our davening at the end of Shacharis and Maariv, and that's L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi, chapter 27 of Tehillim. So I thought we would spend a few minutes this morning discussing really this magnificent chapter of Tehillim. Hi Molly, how are you?
Hello.
Discussing this really magnificent chapter of Tehillim, and hopefully giving some new insights into it. I don't know that we will finish all of it today, even though it's only 14 short verses. There's obviously a lot to speak about and a lot of themes to discuss, some of which I'm very excited about. So let's jump right in. Obviously, we're familiar with the words because we say it for about 40, more than 40 days every year, about 50 days every year, about 50 days every year. So we're familiar with the words, and we might even be familiar with the translation of some of the keywords, but as I always like to do, hopefully we'll give some new insights and definitely develop some themes which, to be honest, I myself was not necessarily previously appreciative of, and hopefully will give new meaning to what we are going to say over the next 50 days. So let's dive right in. Again, we're on chapter 27, verse 1. L'David Adonai, Ori V'Yishi, Mimi Ira Adonai Ma'oz Chayai Mimi Evchad. So first of all, David says, Adonai Ori V'Yishi, God is my light, and He is my salvation. The Midrash says, Ori Zo Rosh Hashanah Yishi Zo Yom Kippur, that Ori is, that God is my light, is on Rosh Hashanah, God is my salvation on Yom Kippur. So off the bat, that gives us a little bit of at least a Midrashic insight into why it is that we read this during the month of Elul, because the Midrash itself connects it to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Why is it that Rosh Hashanah is the light and Yom Kippur is the salvation? Right? You could have chosen it in any number of ways. So perhaps the answer is that Rosh Hashanah, right? Why does Rosh Hashanah precede Yom Kippur? One could very easily make the argument that Yom Kippur should have preceded Rosh Hashanah, that first we should achieve atonement, and then afterwards, once we're cleansed, then we can come before Hashem and coronate Him as our King. The answer in all likelihood is that Rosh Hashanah is a day of clarity. I feel this every year. Right? Every year you have, there's complexities in life, there are doubts, there are, you waver. Rosh Hashanah, all of a sudden, it has the capacity to make everything clear. Your relationship with Hashem feels clear. Sometimes your path in life feels a little bit clearer. Sometimes it's a sermon that will inspire you, and all of a sudden, things about your life will become extremely clear. So that's why Rosh Hashanah is Ori. Rosh Hashanah is light. In other words, the world is dark. It's muddled. We're kind of scratching our way through it. And all of a sudden, we come to Rosh Hashanah where everything just becomes clear. And we strip away all of the complexities of life. Rabbi Goldberg and I, we're at a funeral this week, and he'll actually kill me for talking about this because he wants to write about it, but I guess I beat him to it. But it's only a small group. It's a small group.
We won't say.
So we're at a funeral this week, and the son made, he didn't speak for long. He spoke for about 2 minutes, but he made a very profound statement. He said, Mom, everything to you in life was always complex, but why can't we just make life simple? Right, and his whole point was that we live our lives and there's so much that stresses us out and so much that's complex about it. When you really boil it down to it, life's pretty simple, right? It's family, it's good friends, it's love, it's, right, connection to Hashem. Life isn't as complex as we make it out to be. It becomes complex. But at its core, when we think about what's going to be spoken about at our funerals or what's really going to matter, it's really pretty simple. So that's exactly, I think, what the Medrash is telling us here. Rosh Hashanah is Ori. Rosh Hashanah shines light on the complexities of life, and it gives us a sense of clarity. And that allows us to Yod Yom Kippur, where we can approach tshuva in a proper way. We need Rosh Hashanah. We need the clarity of Rosh Hashanah in order to approach Yom Kippur, do tshuva, and ultimately achieve a sense of salvation from Hashem. So that's L'David Adonai Ori V'Yishi. God is my light. He gives me that clarity. That's what we achieve on Rosh Hashanah. V'Yishi is on Yom Kippur. Mimi Ira. And as a result of that clarity, I have nothing to fear. Adonai Ma'oz Chayai. God is my strength. Mimi Efchad, I have nothing to be afraid of. Now, obviously, there are two words for fear in this pasuk. What are the two words for fear? Mimi Ira, Yira, and Pachad. What's the difference between Yira and Pachad? So says the Malbim, Hayira, Humidavar Yadua. Yira is things that I know about. Upachad hu midavar bilti yadua, in fear of the unknown. Right? And we all know that that exists. Sometimes you're afraid of something specific, okay? And sometimes you're afraid of what you don't know about, the fear of the unknown. What's that going to look like? So that's what we're talking about here, according to the Malbim. Because God is my salvation and my light, so I have nothing to worry about. As we, Rabbi Goldberg spoke about the Shabbos, we've spoken about a number of times, that concept of let go, let God, the concept of our emunah in Hashem allows us to weather the storms of life. It allows us to weather the trials and tribulations, all of the challenges that Hashem throw our way. And that, as we'll see, is really the central theme of this chapter of Tehillim. It's all about building up that reservoir of emunah as a mechanism to allow us to withstand whatever challenges Hashem throws our way. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Bikrov alai miraim lechol bisari. When evil people are going to come close to me, lechol bisari, obviously is figurative, they want to eat my flesh. Sarai ve'oivai li heima kashlu v'nafalo. That when my enemies are going to surround me, when they're going to attack me, when they're going to try to do evil to me, heima kashlu v'nafalo, they will fall away. Im tachana alai mechana, lo yira libi. Im takum alai mechama bezos ani boteach. That if enemies should surround me, if they should besiege me, right? Lo yira libi. I have nothing to fear. Im takum alai mechama, if they wage war against me, bezos ani boteach. What's bezos? In this I will have faith. So all the commentaries point out, it's going back to Pasuk Aleph. The first Pasuk. What do I have faith in? Hashem. I have faith in the fact that Hashem is Ori V'ishi Mimira, that because God is my salvation, I have nothing to fear. So far, we've had one central theme, which is that no matter what happens to me, no matter what life throws my way, Im takum alai milchama, whether there's war, whether there's enemies, whatever Hashem throws my way, bizos ani boter. What's going to allow me to withstand that, what's going to allow me to weather that storm is Mimi Ra Hashem Ori V'ishi, that God is my salvation. Okay? Pasuk Dalet switches a little bit. Achat sha'alti meis Hashem osav akesh, shifti b'veis Hashem koyim echayai, lachazos b'noam Hashem olavaker b'echalo. Arguably one of the most famous psukim. David HaMelech says, I only have one request. What is that request? Shifti b'veis Hashem koyim echayai. I want to dwell in the house of Hashem my entire life. Lachazos b'noam Hashem, I want to see the sweetness of Hashem, the pleasantness of Hashem, ulavaker echalo, and I want to visit his heichal, his sanctuary. So obviously, we could spend an hour on this pasuk alone, and I'll give you, let's say, four interpretations into what I think this pasuk is actually teaching us. Number one, let's start with the classic commentaries. The Malbim and the Radak both say something similar, which is, what's this achat sha'alti meis Hashem? David HaMelech says, I only want one thing. Says the Malbim very beautifully. Eini shoel dvarim rabim, lefi hischad eish hatzrachim. David HaMelech says, I'm not asking for a plethora of things. She yischad eish l'chol adam b'chol eish she'il acheres. Like most people do. Which is every minute they need something else. Refua, one second they need healing. Mizonos, the next second they need parnasa, food, sustenance. Hatzalam e'oi v'chadoma. Right, every minute. We need something new from Hashem. David HaMelech says, I'm not doing that. All I need, rak she'ela acha sho'eles be'avar. I just want one thing, and that is a connection to you. Now, what is that connection? What is the significance of that connection? So the Malbim, in the introduction to this parak Tehillim, tells us that what we're talking about here is dveikus to Hashem. Feeling that connection, feeling that emunah, feeling that connection to Hashem. Says the Malbim, beautifully, Ki ashkacha nimshechet achar hadveiches Hashem. That there is a correlation between our connection to Hashem and Hashem's providence upon us. The greater that you and I feel a deep connection to Hashem, to that extent, Hashem will shine His providence on us. And so it is, so to speak, a tit for tat, right? We've referenced in other chapters of Tehillim that Hashem is compared to our shadow, that a shadow mimics your actions. That's Hashem. To the extent that we feel connected to Hashem, to the extent that we feel that dveikut to Hashem, is to the extent that Hashem will shine His providence upon us. So that is shifti b'beis Hashem. David HaMelech says that because of my attitude of always wanting to dwell in your house, Hashem, that constant awareness of Hashem, his tefillah is that Hashem should therefore shine His providence upon it. Okay, so that's the Malbim. The Malbim then goes on to say a very beautiful idea. He says, Shalosha al she'ila zos, kidei she'al yedei zeh yaseg tachlisa macher. Right? In other words, you might think, David HaMelech says, that the reason why I'm asking for peace and tranquility and savior for my enemies is so that maybe I could have more time to go to work or so that I could have more time to play basketball. David HaMelech says, no. The only reason I asked for in Psukim 1 through 3 is peace and tranquility and salvation is not because I want anything else. All I want is to be able to designate myself to you. As the Radak writes, the only reason I want this is lahashkito me'al milchamot shelibo tarud behem u'misasek b'tzarchei aguf v'chocheshko sheyugufo v'liboy panu lasheves b'veis Hashem. The only reason I want any of this is so that I have time and peace of mind to be able to focus on my relationship with you. Okay, the Rambam says that very famously. It was made even more famous by Miami Boys Choir as a song. But lo nisavu achachamim ve'anevim limos haMashiach, that the only reason we want Yimos haMashiach is not because we want, you know, miracles. It's not because we want riches and money. No, rather, what do we want? Ela kadei shiupnuim batorah. Right, we want salvation so that we could have the mental space, so we could have the capacity to be able to focus on you and our relationship with you. So first of all, says the Radak, says the Malbim, that the reason why Pasuk 4 is a little bit out of place, but the reason why it comes after Psukim 1 through 3 is because David HaMelech is telling us, the only reason I want this salvation is so that I can focus on my relationship with you. I don't need it for anything else. All I live for is to glorify you in this world. And so save me from my enemies. Save me from difficulty. Save me from challenges. Only so that I have the mental wherewithal, the capacity to be able to focus on my relationship with you. That is point number one. That's the Malbim. Point number two is the inconsistency in the Pasuk, which we've referenced in the past as well. First of it, as Melech says, all I want is to dwell in your palace. I want to live in your palace. And then he says at the end, Ulevaker echalo, I want to visit your palace. So which one is it? Does David HaMelech want to live there, which connotes a permanence? Or does he want to visit there, which connotes a temporary existence? So some of the commentaries point out that he wants both. And it's something that you and I should both aspire to. We want to both dwell in the house of Hashem and also be a visitor in the house of Hashem. How do we do that? Well, you and I both know that when you're very comfortable in your surroundings, what do? You treat it with a little bit, right? Picture my kids in my living room, okay? So they're very comfortable, which means they're leaving garbage all over the place. They're putting their feet up on the couches. In fact, we were looking for a new couch this last week. So we're in the store. And all of a sudden I look up. And, you know, one of my kids has got their feet, like, they're, like, sitting back, lounging, their feet are up on the chair. The other one's eating Cheez-Its on the couch. I said, it's not your living room yet. It's not even in our house. You're already mistreating it. So when you're experience something on such a consistent basis, so you come to take it for granted. Okay? That's what David HaMelech is describing here. Shifti b'veis Hashem. I want to always live in Hashem's house, but I also want to feel like a visitor. Right? When my kids visit someone else's house, they have at least a minute of respect for the furniture before they begin to disrespect it. That's what we should feel around Hashem. When we come into shul, when we daven, when we have conversations with Hashem, so there should be that familiarity because it's constant for us, but we should also feel like it's a little bit temporary. We should also feel like a guest. We should never take that relationship for granted. Vionis and Eibschitz points out that that's why the Mishnah tells us that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Pasuk, I believe in Yechezkel, tells us that you're not allowed to enter and exit the same door of the of Har HaBayis, right? Har HaBayis had multiple different entrances. So you were not allowed to enter and exit the same way. Why not? Says Yevionis and Eifshitz, because if you enter and exit the same way, by the time you exit, what is it to you? It's familiar. It's familiar. So you have to enter one way and exit another way so that Har HaBayis never becomes overly familiar to it. There should be that freshness. That should be their constant excitement that we experience. Not like most of us. Then we come to shul. I was here yesterday. I was here the day before. I was here last week. It's the same shul. No, there should always be that sense of a levak reichalo. Our Judaism, our relationship with Hashem, our relationship with shul should always have that freshness and excitement, even though we do it constantly. That's option number one. Option number two is David HaMelech is telling us another beautiful idea, which is don't assume that just because David HaMelech says, I want to dwell in the house of Hashem my entire days, that David HaMelech didn't have a myriad of responsibilities. He was a king. He had responsibilities to the royal court. He was in charge of wars and taxes. David HaMelech was a very busy person. So shifti b'beis Hashem doesn't mean that David HaMelech actually thinks that he is going to live in Hashem's house because he can't. He has to be out in the world. But what David HaMelech is telling us is that even when he has to go out into the world, he wants to take Hashem with him. Right? Shifti b'beis Hashem is not a physical existence. It's a mindset that wherever I go, whether I'm at the office, whether I'm at the gym, whether I'm at the couch store, right? Wherever I go, I want to feel that sense of shifti b'beis Hashem. I take Hashem with me everywhere that I go. Okay, another idea on this pasuk, which I've referenced in the past, both in drushas and in this class, is that magnificent insight from Halal Ariel's mother, where, remember, she was a young girl who was murdered in Israel, and when her mother came to Israel, to America, for the first time on a speaking tour, so she quoted this pasuk, and she told the following idea, which for me personally is a transformative idea. What does it mean, shifti b'veis Hashem, I want to live in the house of Hashem, and I want to be a guest in the house. Her mother pointed out that being a guest and being a Baal HaBayis represent two different things. When I'm a Baal HaBayis, when I'm in charge of the house, and I invite you over to my Shabbos meal, so each one of us has advantages and disadvantages. I, as the host, have a huge advantage, which is that I'm in control. I control the meal, when it starts, when it stops. I control the temperature. I control what food is brought out, right? In other words, there is an advantage to being the host because it means that I'm in control. Okay, my wife oftentimes will like split a meal. We'll do potluck with another couple. She said, would you rather go there or would you rather them come to us? Yeah. Don't you know it's more work for me to come to us? Why? Because I can dictate when the meal ends. Right. Meals in Boca go until right. like That's next right. Tuesday. I've noticed, right? But if it's at my house... Benching, right? That's so right. There's an advantage to being the Baal HaBayis. What's the disadvantage to being the Baal HaBayis?
Clean up.
I have to worry about the meal. I have responsibility for the meal. Okay, says Hashem, on the one hand, I want you to feel like a Baal HaBayis over the world, which means you have to take responsibility for the world. Okay. On the other hand, what does Hashem say? I want you to feel like a guest in my world. As a guest, so on the one hand, you're not in control. I am completely at your mercy. I don't control when the meal starts. I don't control when it ends. I don't control the air conditioning. I don't control anything. And yet, what's the luxury of being a guest?
When it's finished, no cleanup for you.
I have no responsibilities. I'm able to show up, enjoy, and go home. That said, Halal Ariel's mother is how we're supposed to feel in this world. That on the one hand, we're supposed to feel like a Baal HaBayis. We're supposed to feel a sense of ownership over this world, that we're supposed to come into this world and make an impact, an influence, and bring God into this world. But on the other hand, we're supposed to feel like a guest. We're supposed to feel like Hashem is in charge, and we're just along for the ride. What a beautiful idea. That on the one hand, we take responsibility for the world, but we also recognize that we are Hashem's, we are guest in Hashem's own house. And therefore, the same way the host takes care of everything, our emuna has to be that Hashem is taking care of everything in this world. We put in our effort, we put in our creativity, in our work, we partner with Hashem, but ultimately, it is He who is in charge. And the last idea that I wanted to share about this pasuk alone. I know it's a lot I'm throwing at you about this pasuk, but this is a new idea that we have not shared. I actually shared it at a shiva house. It was a little bit off the cuff, but I believe it, and based on the response from that shiva house, I believe it even more strongly now than even when I said it the first time. Okay, and it's based on a medrash. If you turn over the page that I gave you, I know we're not there yet, but there's a medrash. The medrash says, on our pasuk, right? David HaMelech does a switcheroo, bing switch on Hashem. He says, "Ach hashalti meis Hashem, Hashem, I only have one request." And then what does he do? He gives a whole number of requests. So says Hashem, "Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu." This is in Tehillim Chav Zayin Hey. Hashem says to him, "Betchila ta omer ach hashalti." Right? First you asked for one thing. "V'chazarta ve'amarta lachsos benoam Hashem elavakir b'cho." And then you asked for multiple things. That's not fair. Okay? Right? It's like kids will sometimes come to you, "Dad, I just need a small thing." And then they'll list like 15 things. Okay? We're an ATM machine. So Amr lefano, Ribono shalolam. So what is David HaMelech's response? Right? It's a good question that Hashem asked. You told me you were going to ask for one thing, and then you asked for two things. David HaMelech says, "Haha, I learned from the best." What did Hashem do? Lo yeh eved shavah l'rabo. Shouldn't the servant be the same as the master? Betchila, you Hashem first came to us with one thing, as we said in last week's parsha. Ve'ata Yisrael ma Hashem shoel mimach ki'im liyiras Hashem elokecha. We read in last week's parsha, Ekev, Hashem says, "What do I ask of you? Only one small thing, and that is to fear Hashem." Ve'achar kach. And afterwards, what did you Hashem do? You listed a whole slew of things. La leches bichol drachav, la'ava osol, right? Hashem lists five things. So David HaMelech says, "I learned from the best. You, Hashem, said you were going to give us one small thing, and then you gave us many things. So I came to you with a request for one thing, and once I had your attention, I listed a whole slew of things." What is David HaMelech saying? So let's focus on what Hashem tells the Jewish people in last week's parsha. Hashem comes along and says, "V'ata Yisrael ma'ashem elkecha shoel me'imach." What is Hashem asking you? Ki'im li'yiras Hashem. All you have to do is a couple of things. Now we know that's not true. What does Hashem really ask from us? Does Hashem only ask five things from us? No. How many things does Hashem ask from us?
613.
At best. Right? At best, 613. Hashem asks a lot of things from us. So what does the Torah mean that Hashem's only asking for five things from us? I saw a beautiful insight, which I think this is what he said, which is what Hashem is really telling us, is all of Torah is important. And all of mitzvos are important. But if you want to pass on Torah and mitzvos to your children and your grandchildren and to your friends and to influence people, you need to boil it down to a few core principles. Right? If you try to tell your children 600 million things, you know what they're going to do?
Turn off.
Tune you out. What was that comic where like one guy spoke and the other guy just heard like, right? What was that?
Peanuts.
Peanuts, right. So that's like when you overload someone, they just tune you out, okay? Oftentimes, if you want to get a person's attention, you have to boil it down to a few core principles. My guess is that every single one of us in this room can do that. If we think about a parent or a loved one or someone who's had a profound influence on our life, you don't remember everything that they said, but if you close your eyes and really think, you can remember a few core sayings or principles or values that they said over and over again and they drilled into you. And so therefore, you might not remember the totality of their life, but you'll remember a few things where if I woke you up in the middle of the night and said, "What did your mom stand for? Right? What was your dad's most important principle?" Within a saying or a value, you'd be able to tell it to me. Now, how do I know that's true? Because I go to more funerals than all of you combined. And at a funeral, while Rabbi Goldberg and I try to give the picture of a person's life, if you listen to their children or grandchildren or friends, more often than not, they don't do that. What do? They highlight those few core principles. You know, "Mom, you were always the one who did this. Dad, you always said this. Grandma, I'll always remember this about you." Right? They boil a person's life down to a few core principles. And that's what I think the Torah is teaching us. Ve'ata Yisrael, Hashem says, yeah, 613 mitzvahs, all of Torah is important. But if you want to give over these values, you have to be able to strip down all of the noise and boil it down to a few core principles and sayings that are the most important to you, and therefore to drill it in to the people that you love most. As Dr. Pelkovitz, the great psychologist, said from our pulpit, I've heard him say many times, every family needs a bumper sticker. Right? A bumper sticker. What does our family stand for? What are our most important core principles that we stand for? And I think that's what David HaMelech is doing here as well. Right? David HaMelech starts off by saying, Hashem, I need this and I need that. And then he says, Achat Sha'alti. If you ask me what is the most important thing in my life, right? Yes, I need Parnassa, and yes, I need, right, all the things that the Malbim spoke about. Yes, I need Parnassa, and yes, I need Mora's examples. I need Refuah, and I need Hatzalah. I need all these things. But if you want to know what's the most important thing to me, it's my relationship with you. It's my connection with you. It's feeling that no matter where I am in life, and no matter what circumstances I'm under, I always feel Shifti B'Reis Hashem. That is, I think, what the Torah and what David HaMelech is trying to communicate to us. We have to figure out, to decipher what our core principles are, and to make sure that everyone around us knows definitively that that is what is the most important things to us. That there's no wishy-washiness about what our values are, and while we might be complex and have diverse set of interests, they have to know what's the most important thing in our lives. David HaMelech communicates that to us very clearly in this pasuk. Achat Sha'alti. I only want one thing, and that is dveikus to Hashem. I think it's a beautiful insight. It's something that I've been thinking about a lot, and I know because of the feedback that I got from the Shiva house, it's resonated profoundly. In fact, a few people told me that they went home that night and they had that conversation with either spouse or their children. They said, you know, we do a lot, like, do our children really know What are the most important things for me? I think about that often. What do my kids see me do? They see me run out of the house, right? And they know that I like exercise. No, but like, what do my kids really know? I could tell you. If you wake me up at 2 in the morning, I could tell you a few phrases of my parents. I could tell you certain things that I knew were of core importance to them. And that was crystal clear to me and my siblings. And the rest is all backdrop. Right? And I think that's what ultimately all of us strive for, is that simplicity of messaging that we want to communicate. Okay, so I know that's, I threw a lot at us in one pasuk, but there was the beautiful idea of Hal Ariel's mother, that we're supposed to feel like balabatim over this world, but also guests in Hashem's world. Just think about what that means, the imagery of that. Incredibly profound for me personally. That notion of keeping things fresh, that while ultimately Judaism is regular and consistent, nonetheless, it's ulevaker beichalo. We also have to keep that constant freshness to it. It's the idea of this ve'ata Yisrael ma'ashem elkecha shoel me'imach, that while Torah is wide and broad and vast, ultimately, at its core, it's very simple. Right? I had a Rebbe in Israel who used to say about certain things in Judaism, simple but not easy. That was his line. Right? Think about that in Emunah. Emunah is simple, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Right? Dveikut to Hashem. Feeling shifty b'veis Hashem. It's a very simple idea. Doesn't mean it's easy. Okay? What we have to do is sometimes we make things much more complicated than they need to be. Life is pretty simple. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean it's easy. Okay? Okay. Let's continue. Ki it's penene b'sukah b'yom ra'ah yastirene b'pasuk 5. You will hide me away in your sukkah. Again, sukkah is obviously a protective bubble. Biyom ra'ah, on a day of when evil befalls me, yastireu b'seser alo, you will hide me away in your tent. Bitsur yeromameni. On my, what's a tsur?
Rock.
A rock, yeromameni, means you will
rise me
up. Uplift me. Now, you'll notice those are two different imageries. Okay? A sukkah, you are hidden away. You're protected. On a rock, what are you?
Open.
Exposed. Right? So that's what David HaMelech is asking for both. In other words, not only when I'm protected in a bubble, but even when I'm out there, when I'm exposed to the world and to the elements and to my enemies, when I'm at the workplace and it's less protected, there too, Hashem, it's not only you should protect me, but there, that is, it's in those challenges where we rise up. Right? It's through challenge that we grow. Ve'ata yarum roshi, Al oivai svivosai, should uplift my head over my enemies. Vez becha bo'olei zivchei tshua shira vazamra lanai. And I will sing praise in song to you. If you had to summarize, let's say the first six psukim, pretty good, right? What's David HaMelech's central theme right now?
Closeness to God.
Closeness to Hashem, right? If you had to characterize how David HaMelech feels right now, you would say he feels incredibly close to Hashem. And even though there are challenges, right? We all have challenges, but he feels very close to Hashem. Okay. Now you'll notice the chapter pivots. Okay? Pasuk Zayin. Shema Adonai Koli Ekra Chanin Ve'anini. Hashem, listen to my voice when I call out. Chanini, have mercy on me. Answer me. When I call out to you, am I close to you or distance from you?
Probably distance.
Distant, right? If I'm talking to Gigi right now, by the way, my mom, it's very funny. She listens. She's like, who's this Gigi person you always pick on in the class? So I said, she just happens to sit to my right. So every time, fine. So, right? So if I'm talking to Gigi, I could talk in a very small, low voice. If I'm giving the sermon in the main sanctuary, I got to scream because I got to make sure the guy in the back. Why? Because there's a distance between me and him. Right? So Koli Akra, and I'm calling out. So immediately we know there's a distance now in the feeling. Okay? Which is a marked difference from how we would have projected David HaMelech felt in the first six psukim. And what you'll see as we read the rest of this chapter is many commentaries therefore want to suggest that really these were two songs combined into one. Because the tone just takes such a dramatic shift. Lecha amar libi pakshu panai. Grammatic. Lamar Lecha amar libi bakshu panai. Grammatically, this makes no sense. Lecha, to you, amar libi, my heart says, bakshu panai, my, right, seek out my face. The grammar of that doesn't work out at all. But the Malbim says beautifully, Hagam shebepi ani mevakeshin ani machirim. Even though my mouth asks for a lot of things, my heart only wants one thing. And what does my heart want? Bakshu panai, to
listen to me.
To bakshu, no, to seek, levakesh, to seek out God's face, es panecha Adonai levakesh. Your face, Hashem, is what I seek out. Again, the grammar of that needs a little bit of tweaking in different commentaries. I'm not going to get into that right now. Right, but a beautiful idea. What is the only thing his heart craves? Es panecha.
Your face.
I want to see your face, Hashem. Okay? Again, when you feel distance from someone, what do you only... If I could only see that person face to face, if I can only take a glance at that person, how many people after they pass away you hear at the Shiva house? Right. If I could only see my relative one more time, if I could only have one more conversation, that's what David HaMelech says. Reis panecha Adonai avakesh. It's all I want, Hashem, to see your face. Al taster panecha mimeni. Don't hide your face from me, which insinuates that what does David HaMelech feel? That Hashem is
hiding his face.
Yeah. Hiding. Again, it's dramatically different than the first six psukim. Don't hide your face. Al tat ba'at ba'af avdecha. Don't, how does it translate it there?
Do not thrust aside.
Yeah, don't push me aside in your anger, right? Al ticheni, al tazveni Eloheshi. Don't throw me out. Don't forsake me, Hashem. You are my savior. Ki avivi imi azavuni, because my mother, my father have already left me. Ve'adonai yasveni. You, Hashem, are the one who usually brings me close. So don't throw me away. Again, it's such a dramatic difference. Horeini Adonai darkecha. Instead, Hashem, show me your way. Unecheni be'orech mishur, and place me on the path of righteousness. Leman shorai, for the sake of my enemies. What does that mean? So the commentaries point out, David HaMelech says, when I make mistakes, who are the first one to celebrate my mistakes? My enemies.
Right, of course.
So prop me up, Hashem, so that I could basically stick it to my enemies. Right? Think about it in terms of Israel now. Right. Who are the first ones to rejoice when Israel, when there's a problem with Israel? So we say, prop us up, because we don't want our enemies to rejoice. Al tineni benefesh sarai. Don't give over my soul to tzaras, to pain. Ki kamu bi ede sheker viyefei Hamas, because there are those that are out to get me.
Hamas.
Lulei hemanti leros betuva nai be'eretz chaim. Were it not for my emuna to see Hashem be'eretz chaim, in the land of the living, kaveil anai chazak viyametz libecha vekaveil anai. I will put my faith in Hashem, who will strengthen me. Kaveil anai. I will put my faith in Hashem. Okay. What are those last few verses talking about? So first of all, The Ibn Ezra on verse 11 says something magnificent. Right? We said, Horeini Hashem darkecha unecheini beorach mishor. Right? Place me on the correct path. Says the Ibn Ezra, Amar echad mechach melev. One of the wise men once said, Harotza lizgaber al sonav. Someone who wants to overcome his enemies. Now, enemies here are both physical and
mental,
spiritual, mental. Someone who wants to overcome that, Yosef be'avodas Hashem. Double downs on your avodas Hashem. In other words, we think that when our enemies confront us, so what do? We panic, we cower in the corner, we have, right? No. He says, when your emuna is challenged, the response is not to think that you are in control, the response is to double down on your emuna. And to increase your avodas Hashem, which is why we do this all the time, right? When there are wars, when there's difficulties, what do? So we encourage everyone to daven, increase saying Tehillim, learn a little bit more, be more charitable, chesed, right? We live this Ibn Ezra. It's beautiful to see that in the 11th century already, the Ibn Ezra was saying things like this. You'll notice that on the top of the word lulei are some dots. Okay, what are the dots doing there? Okay.
Which word?
Lulei in verse 13. Says Rashi, quoting the Gemara in Brachos, Rabbeinu Yodea, Jedarshu Rabbeinu, Yodea ani she'atano ten schar letzadikim lolam haba. David HaMelech says, I know Hashem that you take care of the righteous. Aval ein Yodea im yeshi chelek imahem im lav. But I don't know if I'm counted amongst them.
Oh, that's a good question.
Right? Yeah. In other words,
yeah.
David HaMelech has faith in Hashem. What doesn't David HaMelech have faith in?
Himself.
Himself. Okay, how many of us question
right.
our abilities, question our righteousness, question our merit to be able to come before Hashem, right? Possibly we read this during Elul specifically because of this pasuk. Right? How many of us have that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
It's Elul, coming up to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and yet Hashem, I'm the same person I was last year and the year before. The list of what I need to change about myself hasn't changed in 10 years because it's the same things repeating themselves, right?
Yeah,
so that's what David HaMelech is saying. David HaMelech says, Hashem, I know you protect the righteous, but what about me? I'm so imperfect, okay? Rav Hirsch, in a beautiful insight, says, what's this lulei? He says, where is it? This is a beautiful insight. He says, therefore, we believe that the word lulei as used here would indicate a thought as follows. If this had not been, in other words, if the Eidei Sheker, V'yifei Hamas, had not risen up against me, then I would believe that I would be able to look upon the Lord's goodness here below during my life on earth, and not only after my departure from earthly existence. All other tribulations would not be able to disturb my enjoyment of such bliss, even on earth below. What David HaMelech is basically saying is that if life were perfect, then my emunah in you would be perfect. But it's specifically the fact that I see the righteous suffer, and that I see the wicked prosper, and that I see that Israel and their enemies, that's what makes emunah complicated, Hashem. Right? Lulei hamanti. Had it not been for the... He says it's really amending the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk says that there are those who are out to get David HaMelech. And David HaMelech says, if not for those who are out to get me, if not for the fact that there are enemies on all of Israel's borders, if not for the fact that there are people that are suffering and illness, right? Then my emunah in you would be perfect, Hashem. But you know what, Hashem? Because all of that exists,
I need you.
That's what makes emuna difficult. How relatable is that comment of Rav Hirsch? Right? How relatable is that? Right? As we said, simple but not easy. How simple is emuna? It's very simple. Right? Let go, let God. Know that Hashem is in control. And yet, why is it so difficult? Because so much of what we see around us is a challenge to our emuna as Hashem, is a contradiction to that emuna and Hashem. That's what David HaMelech, I saw that inside of Rav Hirsch, my mind popped. Because I think that's what all of us feel. We have that emuna, intellectually we know it to be true, and yet we all see things that are challenging to that emuna. We see people suffer. We see threats to Israel. We see anti-Semitism on the rise. And you say to yourself, like, how do you reconcile the two of them? But that's exactly what David HaMelech is espousing. That's exactly what he's telling
Hashem. Is he saying that when that happens to you, then double down and you're...
Yeah. So this is the next pasuk, because this is another like mind-boggling idea. Kaveh el Hashem, I will have faith in Hashem, I'll put my hope in Hashem. V'kaveh el Hashem, and I will have hope in Hashem. What's the obvious question?
Why double?
Why the redundancy?
Why is he double?
Says Rashi, if you remember nothing else from this entire class, well, I've given you a lot to remember from this class.
A lot.
But if you remember nothing else, remember this Rashi. Says Rashi, V'im lo titkabel tfilascha chazor v'kaveh. In other words, even when your tefillah isn't answered, even when the emunah is difficult, even when Hashem says no, what's our response? You go back and you do it again. Right? Kaveh al Hashem, I put my faith in Hashem. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I get back the answer that I didn't want, instead of saying, God, I'm giving up on you, I'm not davening anymore. No, what's our response? Kaveh al Hashem. We put even more faith in Hashem. Okay, what a beautiful insight from Rashi. So what have we done here? What have we done here? So first of all, I think, as you've sensed, the entire chapter is really about how our emunah in Hashem gives us the strength, gives us the wherewithal to overcome the trials and tribulations of life. Right? That's exactly, I think, at the core what the parak is talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's what Hashem wants us to remember. Right? It's talking about, ultimately, there are lots of things in this world that draw us and that pull at us, mm-hmm. but at its core, what is the world about? It's about feeling close to Hashem. And what tshuva, what repentance, is supposed to do is about recreating, is reigniting, it's recalibrating that relationship and that closeness with Hashem. And that's why we read it during the month of Elul. As we approach Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that's what this is about. Okay, now, one thing we have not reconciled is the split in the chat, in the verse. Right? Verses 1 through 6, right. David HaMelech is close to Hashem. Verses 7 on, David HaMelech feels, really up until 14 where it comes back, David HaMelech feels distance from Hashem.
Questioning, really.
It's a different tone. So says Rabbi Soloveitchik in Kol Dodi Dofeik, a beautiful insight, and I'll quote it for you here. The Rav points out that there are two different types, there are two different styles of our relationship with Hashem. One is what Kabbalah would call itaruta dilatata, which basically means it's initiated by man. And the other is what Kabbalah calls itaruta dilaela, which means that it's initiated by Hashem. Okay? Sometimes man initiates the relationship. Sometimes we are undeserving, and it's Hashem who initiates the relationship, and we receive the benefits of that on a silver platter. Okay? Rabbi Soloveitchik writes that difference is the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay, he says here, on the first day of the 7th month, which is Rosh Hashanah, God comes towards man. Right? On Rosh Hashanah, we are unworthy. Okay? God gives us a blessing, so to speak. He gives us a gift. And that gift is that even though we're not worthy yet, he's going to come and greet us. Okay? On the 10th of the month, which is Yom Kippur, man comes towards God. We approach Hashem. He says that this is the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu, the two times he goes up on the mountain. And God's public approach towards the nation on Rosh Hashanah is enfolded the secret of kingship and justice. On the other hand, the private approach on Yom Kippur of the individual towards God. Man may meet his creator in two ways. Sometimes God appears to man and shows his face to him. He fills him with vitality and showers him with the dew of rejuvenation, without the person having to wait days and nights, without seeking or searching for him. Hashem just appears to us. However, God oftentimes hides, and then man pleads, "Show me, I pray, your glory." If this person, frightened and anxious, thirsty for salvation and relief, is longing for the living God, and God does not hurry to the encounter, then man must do as Moshe Rabbeinu did on that wondrous morning. He must seek Hashem with agility, assiduously, conscientiously, with exertion and compulsion. This is how one seeks and finds God. So there are two ways. Sometimes we are the benefit we have the benefit of receiving Hashem. He comes, He appears to us. Sometimes when God is a little bit more distant, so we have to go and approach Hashem. If you notice, that is the two halves of this chapter, right? The chapter opens up with L'David Hashem. It starts off with Hashem is Ori Vishi. God is my light, He's my salvation. Why is He my light and my salvation? Have I done anything to warrant that? Who is the initiator of that? Hashem is the initiator of that. When the chapter splits, what is happening? Shema Hashem, Hashem is listening. Why? Because Koli Ekra, I am calling out to Hashem. So the two halves of the chapter are really connoting the two different ways that we relate to Hashem. Sometimes Hashem comes to us. That's the Rosh Hashanah experience. Sometimes we have to go climb the mountain. And that's the Yom Kippur experience, right? Yom Kippur is obviously when Moshe brings the second set of Luchos down from our Sinai. Second set of Luchos, whereas the first set of Luchos, God had given it to us on a silver platter. The second set of Luchos are Psolacha. Moshe Rabbeinu had to write it. Mm-hmm. It was human participation. It was human initiative. That's Yom Kippur. So that's the two halves of this chapter. So I gave us a lot to think about in a very short period of time. But it's a chapter that we're going to say a lot of times over the next 50 some odd days. And it's worthwhile for us to know what we're saying, both the words, but also thematically, what we are supposed to be feeling. David HaMelech's emunah in this chapter is not a one-string violin. It is a multi-string violin. It's complicated. It's complex. There are ups and downs to his emunah here. And I think that's what makes it so relatable to every single one of us. And it's that sense of emunah as the ability to withstand the trials and the tribulations. It's the notion of emunah as what it is ultimately we seek, is that relationship, that connection with Hashem, all of which serves as the backdrop thematically for the next 50 some odd days of our life. Everyone have a wonderful week.